This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
Welcome to the Men's Room Happy Hour, broadcast exclusively on Odyssey. Let the shenanigans begin.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the Men's Room Happy Hour, episode number 24, I believe. Thank you for joining us exclusively on the Odyssey app. Good Friday morning to you. Truth be told, we record this bad boy on Thursday. That way you get it bright and early on Friday, because there's no way in hell that we are getting up and coming in here at 6 o'clock in the morning to tape a weekly podcast for you. So welcome to Friday morning. Well, we're assuming it's just a beautiful day. Thank you for subscribing to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. That is how you get the Men's Room Happy Hour. Before we get into the Happy Hour today, a couple things for you. We did get a date on an updated Men's Room World Tour stop that will be happening here within the next few coming weeks. Also, don't forget, we're doing the Halloween Hullabaloo.
Yep.
Hullabaloo.
Down in Kent at the Showwear Center. If you get a chance, if there's still slots, head to KISW.com. They're doing a blood drive all day today until 2 o'clock. So from 9 until 2, the Northwest Bloodworks Bloodmobile will be out in front of the Showwear Center. And you can stop by and maybe get a chance to win some VIP tickets to the show.
How many different mobiles are there out there? Right? There's the Batmobile, which is fictional, but there's the Wienermobile.
Mm-hmm.
Every city has a couple of different bloodmobiles, depending on who's doing the blood drive.
Is there still bookmobiles?
Yeah, the bookmobiles.
Yeah, good call. Is there a crime mobile? Is Gruff the crime dog? Is he in a...
Did he have a mobile? Once you had mobile,
those
right? Dare you become
van,
iconic.
The Mad Van.
But they're not. No. It's not the Dare Mobile.
No,
I feel like McGruff would just kind of show up.
Doesn't even need a vehicle. Can't he just run there? It's a dog, after all.
Right. Would you? What if a dog? What if McGruff just walked up and down Third Avenue? Do you think that? I mean, would that freak people out, or would they be like, "Oh, here comes the cops"?
I don't think anything on Third Avenue would freak out anyone on Third Avenue.
So he just walk in. No one wants a picture. Nothing.
Nope.
You don't think so?
They'd ask him for a cigarette. They'd ask him if he's got a dollar.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's got spare change, and he get yelled at about something he knows nothing about.
See, I would put him in front of Pike Place Market just to make people feel safer. You know, out by the McDonald's.
Yeah, McGruff can't do anything.
Why?
He's a detective. He's not really a cop, man. I mean, right? He's there to, he takes a bite out of crime, but it's after the
fact. A canine dog is an officer of the law. If you engage with a, you basically assaulted a police officer.
A police officer,
correct.
Yeah.
So if you start messing around with McGruff, I mean, he's hired by the police department.
Well, he could bite you.
He's got a badge on.
He's not only hired by the police department. I feel like he's up there, man.
And if you had real canine dogs out there, I think they'd pay attention.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Put a real dog out there. That'll do the trick.
Maybe it would make criminals pause. I don't know.
Hey-o.
How's he going to pull the trigger on a gun? What's he got? What has he got? He probably just should have like a scrunchy toy.
They could rig up a cop gun.
Or he could just bite you. I mean, what do normal canine units have?
Knock their someone teeth. Over the head with a pixel stick. You know, those big penis, cow penis dries, the bone things that they got.
Just chews on it.
But we do have an updated, and just so you know, shockingly enough even to us, coming up in 2025, we will have been here for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, we're going to celebrate on our 20-year, if we make it there, we're going to celebrate our 20th anniversary.
We've got we don't get fired.
We got some stuff planned, yeah. It's like kind of back to the superstition conversation we were having on the air.
Don't bring it up.
Yeah, exactly.
They got a no-hitter going.
What is the actual, Steve, what is the date? I know you're better on that than I am. I know we got here.
I don't know the date, but as far as KISW, it was late November when we started here, but Seattle, it was February 8th, 2025, when we started on the bus.
I mean, 2005.
Yeah. 2025.
Damn it, 2005. Thank you.
But we were doing the same show that we did even when we were on the buzz.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not...
Same like, show.
We started counting over. I guess that's probably the only thing that changed with that deal, but yeah. All right, let's see here. I know you guys have something cooking.
It had to be like December 1st.
I want to say it's right before that.
Because I went to the Army-Navy game that weekend, and that was Saturday the 3rd of December of 05.
Okay.
So was it that? So yeah,
didn't we fly out here on the Christmas weekend of that December?
2004. We flew out here. Christmas 2004 started February 8th, 2005 on the Buzz, exact same show, then started KISW either late November or early December 2005.
And it's kind of crazy because I just walked up at a doctor appointment the other day. And our old apartment, which we can still see,
yep.
Beside that building was another huge building. And inside of that was Vito's, which is an old-school Italian restaurant, lounge, bar type thing in the bottom. That building is completely gone. So it's kind of crazy just to see that basically
is. That building gone? I haven't walked by
it burst into flames, and right. It was beyond repair. So they actually took the thing down, yeah.
All right. There was a little a diner across the street.
That's still there.
It has been it's closed down. It's all boarded
that
up.
That place was actually decent, man.
Not the worst. I mean, it was nice to have a diner.
That place sucked.
What? Okay.
All right.
Dude, you went in there once. You hated going in there.
Did I?
Yes. You said they fucked up a French dip. How do you do that?
I remember. That sounds
well,
like
we also.
And then, it had been a Chinese spot for the last year.
So this is not shit.
I swear to God, Thrill, yeah. You hated that place.
This is not shitting on.
I ended there with you once, and we lived in that apartment for 6 months.
At that point in time, when it came to, everything's changed since we've been here. But when it came, East Coast makes really good sandwiches. If you go to Jersey Mike's, that basically is the difference between the sub that you would get on the East Coast. I mean, in a chain way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just a regular old Subway or whatever. That kind of represents more of a sandwich that you would get.
Sure.
They do sandwiches well. They do bread well. So, you know, when you're... They thinly slice the meat.
I was going to say thin cut meat. Yeah, that's your first
thing. They're just some different things. So it was kind of an adjustment period as far as food for sure, because we were used to spicy. We're also used to being able to do delivery where... The menu had 9 different things on it.
Well, generally it's two-sided. So it'd be like Mike's Indian restaurant, right? And I could be with my wife, and she goes, man, I really don't like Indian. I go, that's fine. Flip it over. Well, there's your pizza, there's your subs, there's your gyros, right?
Right. Every place. Gyros, cheese steaks.
Yeah, like where
chicken wings.
Just say where I grew up, the best cheese steak was at the Chinese joint.
Yeah, for real. Everywhere that delivered was like a food court. So they had their primary menu on the front, right? Like, if you want Chinese food, here's all our stuff. If you don't want it, flip it over. And seriously, yeah. I mean, the best sandwiches, subs, wings, you name it. All that crap's on the bag.
You can't. I mean, like, the best Chinese food that I knew in Baltimore was at Jumbo Seafood.
Mm-hmm.
Jumbo Seafood. And I'm not sure they had seafood other than the shrimp that they put in.
They didn't. It was a Chinese place, but it was called Jumbo Seafood. But if you're looking for seafood, you ain't going to find it.
No, you don't go there. No, it's
I thought
confusing.
The best food, Chinese food in Baltimore was a place called Number One Taste. But they called it Number One Taste.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in Fells Point, and you could pick it up or they deliver, and they were just as nasty and mean as they could be, but the food was worth the attitude.
I did it the other day. This is probably a few months back, and I don't know why I do this, and it's horrible.
I can already guess where you're going. You're the only person I know
I do it.
Who does this who's
I repeat,
not doing
I repeat,
it to be an asshole.
I repeat everything the person says for the most part, all right, just to make sure that I'm correct.
Sure.
So you call Jumbo Seafood, like, and be like, hi, Jumbo Seafood. And you go, hey, can I get an order of orange chicken? Orange chicken? Yeah. One orange chicken. And I say it back like that. And I don't know why I do it. And I have no idea. One fried rice? Yeah, one fried rice.
We used to debate who would call the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Because
it's terrible.
Miles
they call that a tick, Miles.
Would always say shrimp fried rye. So Miles would always say shrimp fried rye.
Shrimp fried rye.
But I would start laughing. So we would go to call to get, we just want to get Chinese food. We're not calling to fuck with him, right? But he's like, dude. You need to call him this time. I'm like, no, because I'm going to start laughing. And he's like, well, I'm going to. So, sir, it would take us 30 minutes to figure out who's just going to make the call so that we don't laugh and insult these people. Because Miles, one egg roll.
Yeah. Number three, crab wonton. Yes, one crab wonton. Yes, that is correct.
You did it a few months ago at the store where we buy smokes.
I can't remember what I said.
And, well, the thing, so he gets Parliament lights, and this lady carries them almost specifically 4 miles, right? So he goes in, and I've already bought my stuff. I'm just waiting for him. And she's like, oh, no more Parliament light. He's like, no more Parliament light.
I didn't even realize I said it.
No, but what do I go do?
Jesus, man.
I know.
He's not doing it to be an asshole.
Ted, you are right. I know. I am just being honest.
Jesus Christ,
I'm
dude.
Sorry.
But you know what?
No more Parliament light. I'm just like, what you mean?
Speaking with the accent might actually help them understand
a
little bit easier.
I don't know.
Right?
It might, but he just does it automatically.
Sure. Yeah. It's like, you know, when you go back home to D.C., it slides in. When I go back to West Virginia, it slides in. For some reason, you think I was born in Beijing. I don't know what the
Yeah, but you're from West Virginia.
I know that. I still don't understand why I do it. Because I don't do it anywhere else. I don't do it anywhere
It's only
else.
The Asian accent.
I do not do it in Mexican restaurants. I do not do it in soul restaurants. No.
I'd like to see that.
Just fucking.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, mama. Aren't you on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives? Say, mama. We saw this guy walking outside yesterday.
Yesterday, 2 days
ago. Oh, my God. This guy was absolutely incredibly dressed as far as that era of, say, mama. He was like
a 70s pimp, man. I told Miles, I said, it's his old brother. And even the walk was just like, fuck with me and find out. Even though I get a feeling you could beat his ass in a heartbeat, but he just had that vibe, man. And I said to Miles, I aspire to be that man.
Yeah.
When I hit this guy's age,
like,
man.
Kind of like patchwork, wool pants, but really tight shoes, and had like kind of a, not necessarily a Kangol, but more of a derby
like
hat.
Like a poofy, yeah, but I mean, man, this guy
walk of confidence.
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, he strutted across the street. I was like, check this shit out. That is sharp.
That look
is,
at that right
that
there.
That guy's tight.
Then we saw a woman today that looked like Abe Vigoda. I wish I was kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just shorter. It was like, God damn.
Oh, God.
So, good times. all right.
She did, dude. Anyway. I swear to God, she looked like Abe Vigoda.
Yes.
Like, that's unfortunate.
So, today, I'll let you guys explain this a little bit more. But today, I guess, Steve, your wife picked up, she didn't pick up necessarily a children's book, but she picked up a book
that pretends to be modeled for, I don't remember where we heard about this, okay, but when we heard about it, my wife said, I'm going to order this from Amazon. I vaguely remember that, and I know we were with other people, so I'm sure someone told us about it, whatever. And the name of the book was called Brenda's Beaver Needs a Barber. And yes, it is very specifically a double entendre, which is why we ordered
but
the
there's
book.
There's a girl named Brenda or whatever, correct. Woman, and she's got a small beaver
a
with
pet
her.
Beaver,
a,
yeah.
A pet beaver, yeah.
Right. And so we ordered this book, and I don't know, showed up last week, whatever. I read through it. It's like a 2-minute read.
It's an illustrated book.
It is an illustrated
book. It looks like
children's
book. It looks like Goodnight Moon or whatever.
Yeah. But it is not for children. So we read through it. I thought it was fucking hysterical because like it's just so obvious. It is so overt. So the Mike and I'm like, man, we should read this, but do it right. You know, give it the
hell yeah.
If you heard this on Romper Room back in the day, or if Captain Kangaroo had a side character.
Also said no reproduction or any of that stuff. So you guys actually got a hold of the author.
Well, that's all Mike.
Actually, yeah, I went to the website because it did. It you know, it said all rights reserved and any reimagining or anything like that of this book. You know, need to get permission basically. So I went to their website, got the information from the guy, and he said absolutely, hell yeah, we encourage you guys.
Do you remember his name?
It was Matt.
Okay, this Matt has more than just this book, right? He's done this double entendre thing three or four different times. So
this is actually Matt Williams.
Okay, so Matt Williams, did he not say that he was maybe going to ship a couple extra books?
They're
to
on
us?
The way.
Well, yeah, they
he
are.
Does a whole series.
This might be the first installment of.
I'm hoping so.
A books on tape, so to speak. If you wanted to, if you didn't want to take the time to read this 20-page children's book, you can.
But you know, like any children's
book, absolutely should.
You know, it's done well. It rhymes.
It's illustrated well.
You said when you were a kid, "Goodnight Moon" was kind of your go-to.
That was the one that my mom read to me.
I had heard of it. I don't think my parents ever read it to me. But when my daughter was born, we got like 40 copies of it from 40 different people we knew.
Yeah.
And I remember I'm reading this book to my daughter. And yes, just the rhythmic cadence of it, it puts them to sleep, right? So she fell asleep before I even finished the book. So I finished flipping through the book. I looked at my wife and I said, man, you know this book, right? And she's like, yeah, of course. It's Goodnight Moon. I said, no offense, this bitch is crazy.
Nope.
Like this
she's
woman,
she lives along
this
with the
woman
cats.
Needs help.
Right.
This woman, does, she's saying goodnight to shit. That like, goodnight spoon. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if she eats glue. I do not know if she's lonely. Right. But we are reading the story of a crazy, crazy, crazy-ass motherfucker to our child. I don't know how I feel about that.
Where the Wild Things Were.
That was my jam.
Things Are is great, dude.
My mom was a librarian at the time, so she was very big on bringing me books that had just won the Caldecott or had won the Caldecott Medal before.
That medal is still on that book.
Because there's still because it's, you know, it's about illustration. Typically, that goes in the form of children's books. So most of the Caldecott Medal winners were books that were meant for children.
Yeah.
So even as a kid, when you could not read, you could still flip through the book and enjoy the book just based on the illustrations.
And actually, you know what I did discover, and I like these books even at my age now. Shel Silverstein.
Oh, great! Oh, yeah.
All right, so his books are fantastic. Ted, I owe you an apology. Years ago, I can't remember what we were talking about. So, like, why aren't unicorns on the fucking Noah's Ark or some shit like that? And you had some quote, and everyone just looked at you, myself included, like, what in the fuck are you talking about? And you were like, man, I swear to God, it's in some book. We're like, what's the book? And you're like, I don't know. I just have a vague recollection. Anyway, somebody bought these Shel Silverstein books, which I recommend to anyone. And I'm flipping through there, and I'm like, I will be goddamned. And my wife's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, fucking Ted, man. I swear to God, it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He brought, I think it was Unicorns or something. It was from the book Where the Sidewalk Ends. And I'm like, goddamn, Ted was right. This is almost an exact quote. Classic, man. The man was correct. I never knew anything. No. The thing about Shel Silverstein, this is what I like, though. In addition to writing children's books, he illustrated for Playboy, and I want to say he co-wrote some songs with someone like Johnny Cash or someone like that, rebellious and significant.
Right. And I told you.
He just looks like a tough dude.
This is a bald dude with a goatee before people were doing it.
He's got the beard.
Yeah. I know you disagree on this, but my grandfather used to give me a new Hardy Boy book every Christmas.
Yeah.
And he basically did it in chronological order. They were numbered.
Yeah, hey, man, you don't want to know what's going on.
So basically that's what he did. He started at number one, and then, you know, for 5-6 years... I got these Hardy Boys books until one time I just like, he's like, you know, the next, and I'm like, Granddad, I hate these fucking I fucking hate them.
I devoured those books, man.
I cannot stand these books.
I hate them.
And,
I fucking hate them.
And he's like, no, but they get better. I'm like, they have never gotten better. It's just a different mystery. It's the same fucking people.
Right. I will say that. They don't get better. It's the same book.
It's like Scooby-Doo at that point.
Correct. Right. Yes, exactly. And they saw, so he's like, I'll tell you what. He's like, they just started a new TV show, The Hardy Boys. He's like, we're going to watch the show.
Cassidy, and what was the other guy's name?
I believe Parker Stevenson.
Parker Stevenson, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to watch the show, and I think that's going to get you back into the books, because the episodes
the books.
Are based on a lot of the books, right?
Sure.
So he watches this one night, and we're watching it together. And these two are very popular. There was
they were huge
magazine called Tiger Beat, Teen Beat. Sean Cassidy had a hit song called "The Do Run Run," which was a cover.
Do run, run, run.
Your typical little like Bieber guy, but without talent. well, I mean, Bieber's got talent. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just kind of sticking.
He could not
TV
dance.
Stars
he could not play drums. Right.
In front of a microphone and letting them sing.
Right. You just have him redo an old school song.
Exactly. So we watched this show, and at the end of it, my grandfather looked at me and he's like, yeah, that sucked. The book, well, it just came out. And he's like, well, you know, and so he's like, the book is better. I'm like, that's what I'm trying to tell you. The book sucks as much as the television show. They basically covered this book verbatim in 30 minutes, and these books suck. But I had a bunch of books growing up that you just read them because they were there.
Sure,
But they, I mean, I don't remember any of, like, that's a keeper. There were a couple that I read later on.
Remember, like, the Dick and Jane shit. Right? And yeah. I vaguely remember that. My brother had them first. He's 5 years older, so he passed some of this shit down. And Dick and Jane, to me, I'm like, why are we interested in these people? Because all of the books is about them doing the most mundane shit.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't fucking care about Dick and Jane.
Scott Odell had a couple books I liked. Black Pearl and Island of the Blue Dolphins was not a bad book. I mean, Old Man and the Sea was one I could read because it was 100 pages.
You read that as a kid?
Yeah.
That book sucks, dude.
But it was a.
I read The Old Man and the Sea.
Fahrenheit 451.
Fahrenheit 451
was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, like I only got to read that as I had to do eighth grade over.
Yeah.
So I had to get a different book. But I thoroughly enjoyed that book.
That was one of the first books as a kid that I went, you know what? I like this book.
And there's a bigger meat. As a kid, it's the first time you really got a sense of something bigger.
Right. Did read like Swiss Family Robinson or whatever, Robinson Crusoe or whatever.
I remember Swiss Family Robinson.
I still can't believe none of you guys, I brought it up on the air a few weeks ago and people backed me up. Never read any of those Matt Christopher books.
What are some of the titles?
catcher with the glass arm or something. Like,
oh, Jesus.
They were all sports themed. So, like, when I was a kid, right, like your school, you can always go to the library and check out books.
Yeah.
So I never got into the Hardy Boys stuff. But, I mean, I would read those all the time. That's why I like people emailed in. They're like, dude, I remember those.
Yeah, my teacher, son's been reading some sports books. Slugfest is his most recent one. Nice. Which he didn't want to read it by the end of it. He's like, I really like it. I'm like, because it's about sports.
Right. He always had a collection of, like, Dr. Seuss books all over
had
the
Dr.
place.
Seuss,
so,
sure.
we read all of those classics. Like, Magic Treehouse was also one that was kind of circulating.
Do you realize how long is it?
Well, junior high.
Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah.
Is a shockingly
long
book.
Book, dude.
And the first time I read that to my daughter, man, I did not realize how long the fucking thing
was. Let me take 5 minutes to read you this book. Oh, my God.
Oh, I mean, it became an investment. And that's the book that she really, really wanted me to read. And I was like, fuck.
And all it is just him describing the inconvenient
shit
places that he's not going to eat.
Okay,
that.
So we basically had one English reading class. Well, it was an English class, but those reading assignments.
Yeah.
The teacher was from the middle of Pennsylvania. And basically, she had all the categories up there, so you needed to check 6 boxes off of every genre. And then she would supply you or have 3 books that were regional or close or whatever that you would pick from. So, you know, if it was local history, it would be a historical book about John Brown or somebody like that, or whoever the fuck, Frederick Douglass, somebody from West Virginia. Then they would have nonfiction. Well, that was a nonfiction. Sports. One of the books, Ted, was that you could pick was Something for Joey. Now, this is, Jesus Christ, man. You want to talk about reading Marley and Me as a kid. We all had to do oral book assignments, all right? And this is the one where I fucked up and I did not read one of the books. And
Gregory Peck.
And I mentioned Gregory Peck while I was giving my book report about To Kill a Mockingbird. All right, same class, okay? Which kind of fucked me, but whatever. Because I had mentioned Gregory Peck by name instead of whatever
his character.
Atticus Finch.
Yeah. Atticus Finch, yeah, exactly.
Askiss Finch.
Askiss Finch. What was the racist name that they gave the other character in that one?
There was Boo Radley. There was
the Boo Radley. Boo, yeah. Boo.
Boo. Boo.
They called him Boo.
Right.
Boo Radley.
Right.
Like they called
it's a lot better than
They called the one guy. They called
Tom Sawyer was the worst.
Yeah, it's a lot better than Jim's nickname.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, even then they had Injun Joe
and
you know, Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer. So, but yeah. So I watched that movie. Great movie, by the way. Cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah.
I thought it was
fantastic.
But man, Something for Joey. Everybody who had to go up there and do an oral book report started to cry. It was so sad. It was about this guy named John Cappelletti, and he was a fullback or a running back for the Penn State Nittany Lions. And I guess his younger brother was, you know, just terminally ill.
Right.
But I scored a touchdown for him, whatever the deal was. It was just like, I think when he either was drafted or whatever, the deal was like his brother died. It was just like, by the time he got to the end
he wins, life sucks.
Right.
You know? Right. He like wins the Heisman.
Yeah, he does.
And he just gives this passionate speech about his brother dying and everything else. I mean, it's super sad story.
God.
But I told you, when I was at DeMatha, right, like I'm in this specific class where you read more.
Yeah.
Right. Because like me and a few of the other, basically it's a football team and a couple basketball players.
Okay.
Right? But everybody's a little slower at reading.
Yeah.
So we would take all year just to read these books. Now, I had seen the movie, but one of the books was Gail Sayers.
Oh, Brian Saul.
Brian Saul.
Jesus, there's another
So
guy.
I had already seen the movie, but most of the dudes in my class have not. So part of that also is we were trying to get better was like freshman sophomores, you had to read out loud. And I mean that last day.
Howard Brothers are gods.
Was that
you gotta keep in mind, like we have big dudes at my school.
Was that Carl Weathers playing Gale Sayers in the movie?
I can't remember.
Billy
I just
D.
remember
is
I remember
Billy D. Williams.
I just remember giant dudes bawling their eyes out that last day.
Oh dude.
It was awful.
Oh yeah. That's why it's like I've seen the movie. It was a great movie. Never watched it in my fucking life.
That was my class with Where the Red Fern Grows. I remember as we were getting towards the end of that book, there was a handful of sniffles in the class.
Mice and Men.
Oh yeah.
There's a couple where
fucking Charlotte's Web was my introduction to Hey, kid, we're going to take this knife and stab it in your fucking chest. You know how much you like that spider? Yeah. She dies, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what?
All right, so here is you did a little, I think,
we're going to the
books on tape version.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you can tell me what you think. This is, it's our reading, and Mike's applied all the special effects, the music. We really wanted to recreate the scene of Barbara's Beaver Needs a Barber.
Here you go.
So we're going to the men's room playhouse.
Hello, children. Welcome to the men's room playhouse. Today, we'll be reading Brenda's Beaver Needs a Barber. A story from Reach Around Books. Let's get to it, shall we? Brenda has a beaver, and she's ready to confess. As soft and sweet as it may be, her beaver is a mess. Brenda's beaver's big, and Brenda's beaver's hairy. Every guy who's seen it says that Brenda's beaver's scary. Brenda took her beaver for a swim down at the lake. By the looks that she received, she figured that was a mistake.
Ew, oh, my God.
Wow. What is that?
Whoa.
No way.
Oh, my God.
Look at the size of it.
She stuffed that furry mound into a swimming suit and stuck on all around. It was anything but cute. Now, some who saw it laughed. Others were just stunned. Brenda's beaver was hanging out, soaking up the sun. Her friends could not believe her. They said, "We need to talk." They covered up her beaver, and they took her for a walk. Brenda, dear, listen here. We want to help you out. Your beaver needs a makeover. It really needs it now.
Uh-huh.
I hope we don't seem pushy, said her biker friend named Kim. Your beaver is just too bushy. We think it needs a trim. Savannah pulled her beaver back to show off what she'd done. Hers has a nice long landing patch. It looks like it'd be fun. Chrissy's beaver is quite rare. It could be worth $1 million. Hers is bare and has no hair. Her beaver is Brazilian. Catherine let her beaver loose. She said there's nothing to it. Grab some clippers and a can of mousse. We'll show you how to do it. Now Kim produced some scissors and Chrissy had some wax. Now all that Brenda had to do was sit back and relax. As they came towards her beaver, they said, "Now don't be scared. We're gonna see what's underneath that frumpy pile of hair." It ended in just minutes. They didn't leave her much. When Brenda's friends were finished, she and her beaver, they both blushed.
Wow.
Her beaver was so tiny, they could not believe their eyes. It was smooth and it was shiny. It was hard to recognize. Now Brenda is so proud. It seems like every time we see her, she's in the center of a crowd, just showing off her beaver. And that was Brenda's Beaver Needs a Barber, written by Bamisi Tyanita, illustrated by some guy in Bangladesh, created by Matt Williams, a self-proclaimed cunning linguist. This was a work of fiction. Names, characters, and incidents are products of the author's imagination and are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events or persons, both living or dead, is entirely coincidental. However, claims of encounters with Brenda's beaver are quite common. We'll see you next time, right here in the Men's Room Playhouse.
That was awesome.
I think we have a children's show. Jesus. I smell a children's show.
I'm hoping the next books get here quick.
Oh, man, me too. That's
all right,
too much fun.
Bitches, thank you for joining us on the Men's Room Happy Hour in episode number 24.
Yes, indeed. And for those of you that don't like that barbered beaver. Go fuck yourself.
Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.